right, if you guys will get your Bibles out and go to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Now in Genesis 41, you kind of have the chapter where things are beginning to turn around for Joseph, and he has now been able to, or the Lord has taken him out of prison. And before this time, Joseph had a real hard life. And things weren't really going too well for him. He was in prison, and of course you had the baker and the butler, and they had these dreams. And so when they had these dreams, they tried to find the interpretation, and Joseph said, "Well, I know the guy that can interpret them." And so, of course, he told him the interpretation of those dreams, and he just said, "Hey, if you can just do one thing, and that is if you get out, when you get out and my dreams are, or excuse me, the interpretations that I've given you are correct, would you put in a good word for me? Will you get me out of here," basically. And of course, you guys know the one guy forgot about him because he died. The butler just completely forgot about him until Pharaoh had another dream. And Pharaoh had a dream, and in that, it was paramount that he find out what that dream meant. And so, anyways, this butler says, "Man, I completely forgot about this guy, but there was a guy that I was in prison with, and he told me the interpretation of my dream." And so Pharaoh says, "Well, go and get him." And so Joseph gets out of jail, and he goes before Pharaoh and gives him the interpretation of the dream. And that was kind of, up until that point, that was Joseph's life. And for the vast majority of his life, it was not an easy life. And it was a very hard life for him. And he had to deal with a lot of things, and he had to deal with a lot of afflictions. So it says in verse 45 of chapter 41, "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." Man, you talk about a change, you know. He was in prison all those years, and up until 30 years old. I mean, I don't know how you guys could imagine living a hard life just full of betrayal and disappointment and some hard affliction for 30 years. And that's what Joseph did. And in verse 47, in the seven plenteous years of the years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, we are grateful to be here. And Lord, we look forward to you feeding us this morning. And we want to say, first off, we want to thank you for these words, Lord. We want to thank you for giving them to us. We want to thank you for the hope that we have in them. And we just pray that you would bless this message now, Lord. We pray that your people would get fed from it. We pray that you wouldn't have anybody to stand in your way, Lord. We pray that what is going to be said here would be honor and glorifying to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now in verse 52 is really the verse that I want to focus on today. And he called his name Ephraim and says, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And what a testament, you know. I always get excited reading the story of Joseph, you know. It's a story of reconciliation with his brethren, but and of course we've heard scores of messages on it, but man, just the fact that a man can go through some really bad things and he can be afflicted with some really bad things and come out on the other side of it being better for it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's pretty crazy. I don't know how many of you have been afflicted with something and you come out from it and it's just like, man, I'm better than what I was when I went into it. And that's really a high thing to be able to admit to. And now Joseph says, he says, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And really, he blames it all on God, which is a good idea. It's a really good idea to do that. But you know what he says? "He caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And listen, if there is one thing in this life for everybody, it'll come in different ways. For some people, they may have it more than others. But listen, you're going to go through this life and you know what you're going to have? You're going to have affliction. And you're going to have to deal with things that you may have never imagined you had to deal with. And you're going to have to go through stuff and listen, it's going to be up to you really on how you come out after you've gone through that affliction. Now for Joseph, he had these two sons and those two sons were kind of like a memorial in a way to the Lord. Regardless of how those boys turned out, that was kind of like his tribute to the Lord. Man, he had Manasseh and he said, "God hath made me to forget all my toil." He said, man, it's like I was able to forget about all that stuff. And you know, that's what some of you need to do. You need to be able to forget about all your past, right? Some of you need to be able to do that and kind of put that behind you. And it says, "He hath made me to forget all my toil." Why, man, this moment the Lord has been so good to me that I don't even remember that stuff. And then he says, "And all my father's house," man, all the bad memories. He's like, the Lord has been so good to me. And of course, at this point, he didn't know that he was going to be reconnected with his brethren, that he was going to be, redeemed with his house. He didn't know that. And you know what? He was able to go on and say, "Lord, you made me forget even all my father's house, all the bad memories that come with that." Now, look, I don't know what you go through. I know that some people go through some real hard things, and you listen, you're going to be afflicted. Now, not all affliction comes in different ways for different reasons, but I'll just say this as just kind of a little side thing, if you will. Go to Psalms chapter 25. I'm not trying to say that your affliction is on you because of this, but it's always a good thing to look inside and see if this is maybe a reason for it. But I just want to read one verse, 25 verse 18. David says this. He says, "Look upon my affliction." Lord, will you look on it? Will you see my affliction? Will you recognize what I'm going through? And listen, sometimes it sure is nice to have your affliction recognized by the Lord, right? To go through something, the Lord just kind of take note of it and say, "I see what's going on." It's good to have that. And so David pleads with the Lord. He says, "Look upon my affliction." What does he say? And he says, "My pain. Look upon my pain, Lord. Do you see it?" You know, the Bible says that he takes your tears and puts them in a bottle. Why? As remembrance. God doesn't have to do that. And you know what? That's, I want that. I don't know about you. You can be as masculine as you want. You can be as jacked up on testosterone as you want. But listen, when you're in that position, you know what you want? You want the Lord underneath your chin as those tears are dripping off. And he's noticing them. That's what you want. But look what David says. He says, and forgive all my sins. You know, I just want to say, like, I don't know if your affliction is due to your sin. I don't know. But it's always a good idea to do some confessing of sins and getting them off. It's always a good idea to do that. Now, this is not really a salvation message. I feel led to put this in. If you will go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And you know what? Listen, one day there was a man who was born, and the Bible says that he was he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, but when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. And there was a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. You know what he was? He was born, and the Bible says that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Verse 3, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And man, if there is anybody in this life that has walked on this earth that lived a life of affliction, it was Jesus Christ. And the affliction was completely unjust, no disrespect to the Lord. But he didn't deserve that. And yet he entered this life, and you know what he could say? That he went through some land of affliction. If you will, look in verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And you know what? I just want to say that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and he went through the land of affliction. And you know the interesting thing about the fruit that he's going to bear? You know, I don't know if you're lost here today. I don't know if you've ever considered where you're going to spend eternity. But listen, his fruit depends on you. In Hebrews chapter 2, go to Hebrews chapter 2. The fruit that Jesus Christ is going to have in heaven is dependent on you, a sinner. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. If you're saved here today, you know what you are? You're going to get to heaven. You know what that's going to be? That's going to be fruit on Jesus Christ's account. And you know, Jesus Christ is going to be able to say, for he hath made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, the question really is for you, if you're lost today, are you going to be some of that fruit? Are you going to be included in that fruit or not? Will you become his son? And I don't know if you will, but listen, Jesus Christ went through that affliction for you. Now, I want to say a few things about the affliction, okay? That was kind of just a side thing for lost. But if you will, go to Luke chapter 8. And I just want to talk of, the title of the message is Fruitful in the Land of My Affliction. And really the whole thing is, listen, you're going to have to go through affliction, but really what you want is to be able to come out on the other side and just like Joseph say, I was fruitful. God caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the question is are you going to get through this life and you're going to get through the other side and there's going to be some fruit to show for your life and what you've done for Jesus Christ and the things that you've gone through? And I guess that question really is only one that you can answer. But if you will, go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And so first off, I want to say that if you want to be fruitful, this will have to be involved. Okay, look what it says in verse 4. It starts out with the parable of the sower. And let's see, it says in verse 6, some fell upon a rock, some seed. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And that's what you want, is you want it to be fruitful. And so look what it says in verse 14. So he's given the interpretation. It says in verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." They don't have any good fruit. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I want to say that if you want to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, it will have to be done in patience. It's not fun to say it. It's not fun to go through it, but you have to go through it with patience. And you will have to be patient with the Lord, and you will have to allow Him to bring you through that affliction, but you're going to have to do it with patience. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Actually, the end of verse 23 is great. "Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." And listen, I want to say that you're going to have to do it through patience. It will have to be done through patience. And listen, there is no way around getting through this life without affliction. And to be fruitful in it, I want to say you must do it through the eyes of faith. Listen, you're not going to be able to get through this life and not have some faith in what the Lord can do. And listen, no one likes to hear that. And to be quite honest, I don't even like to preach it. But listen, you must have the eyes of faith. You have to have faith in the Lord. And listen, if you don't have that faith, you will probably not be fruitful in the land of your affliction. Listen, you can't do it without the eyes of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Listen, there is no fruit. You can't get through this life if you don't have some faith in what the Lord can do. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look what it says, verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured." Well, how? How did he get through it? How was he able to forsake that? How was he able to get through that life as seeing him who is invisible? And listen, the only way that you're going to be able to see him who is invisible is what? If you go through this life and go through this land of affliction with the eyes of faith. You can't do it without. Listen, it is the secret to a Christian's endurance. If you want to endure this life, you know what you have to do? You have to be able to see Him who is invisible. And listen, if you can't see Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith and you can't reach out, listen, you know what? You may not be very fruitful. Listen, the secret to any Christian's endurance is going to depend on if he can see Him. To build off of that, go to Romans chapter 15. Go to Romans 15. You know, well, actually, I'm going to say this and then I'll I will read this and then I'll say what I was going to say. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I want to say that it will be done through faith of the Scriptures. And you know, for a second, I kind of sat there and thought, man, I don't know if I should say that, because we're always harping on the Bible, you know? And we're always talking about how important the Bible is, and it probably gets old hearing it. And then, you know, I thought for a second, I was like, what a stupid thought. Why would you think that? And you know what? So I'm here to say that, you know what you got to do? You got to be fruitful. And listen, you're going to have to do it through patience, and it will be done through the faith of the Scriptures. And without those Scriptures, man, I don't know if I could say that you wouldn't be fruitful at all, but you're making it pretty hard on yourself. Go to Psalms 119. So I don't know how much of a relationship you have with that book, but you will not be a strong Christian if you do not have a relationship with that book. And you can get as bored as you want when you hear that, but it's still the truth. Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Do you ever go in prayer to the Lord and say, now, Lord, you promised this. Don't forget your words. He goes, why? Because that's what I'm hoping in. That's what I'm trusting in. You can't take that from me, Lord. This is my comfort. Where? In my affliction. You better have the eyes of faith set upon those Scriptures. For thy word hath quickened me. Look at what it says in verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. I wonder how many of us could stand up and say, the only reason why I'm here today is because of that book. It was interesting as I was listening to Dr. Uckman, and he said, he's just kind of giving a little testimony, and this was back in the 70s, and he just said, you know, the only thing that got me through those endless nights of being in a hotel by myself, his wife was divorcing him, and his home was a wreck, and you know what he's out doing? He's out preaching. He goes, you know, the only thing that kept me going with all the things that would go on in those hotel rooms? He goes, that was the only thing that held him up. That's a testimony. And listen, I wonder how many of us could say, I may not have gone through much, but I want to give credit to that book. I don't know. If you want to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, you're going to have to turn to that book. You can't do it without that book. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's a little repetitive, but I want to say that it's going to be done through the promises of Scripture. Listen, Don't you think that Joseph could have allowed himself to believe that that situation that he was in was the impossible situation? I mean, don't you think that Abraham, when he was an old man, the Lord says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And he could have in his mind said, that goes against hope. It says, who against hope believed in hope. Lord, I know that that shouldn't happen. But I'm going to hope, what? In thy word? In the promises that you've given me? Go to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you want to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, you're going to have to do it with patience. And there's things that you've been given to be able to get through it in patience. And I want to say this lastly in this point in chapter 3, verse 10. Look what it says. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Iconia, or at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And listen, you know, I want to say that if you live the life of faith in Scripture, it should be very obvious to you who brings you through. It should be very obvious to you the only reason why you're sitting here today. It should be obvious. And you know what? To Joseph, there was absolutely no doubt in his mind when he had that boy and he named him Ephraim. And maybe Pharaoh says, why'd you call him Ephraim? He goes, God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. As an honor to God, I want to have something that's going to show that. And Joseph was. He was fruitful in the land of his affliction. Go to Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6. Something else that I want to say about if you're going to be fruitful. Romans chapter 6, look what it says in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Listen, if you want to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, it's going to have to be done with purpose. Why? Because it says, now being made free from sin, ye have your fruit unto holiness. It's with a purpose. Listen, if you're going to try to be fruitful for the Lord, you're going to have to do it with a purpose. In other words, it doesn't just happen on accident, okay? You're not just going to get to heaven and like be shocked and be like, whoa, where'd all that gold come from, Lord? Oh, you didn't know? No, it's not going to be like that. You're going to get up there and you know what you're going to have? You're going to have ashes. And you're going to have nothing to show for it. And some of us are going to have absolutely no surprise on our face because we're going to say, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have expected any different. But listen, it's going to have to be done with purpose. With what? A clear goal, right? An aim. It's a sense of mission. You're going to have that. It doesn't just happen on accident. You know, Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, you know what it says? That Daniel purposed in himself, what? Not to be defiled by the king's meat. Daniel had to decide. You know what Daniel had to do? He had to go in there and, you know, he had to have a purpose of mind. He had to do it unto holiness because he didn't want to be perverted by those things. He didn't want to be defiled by those things. And too many of us live our lives in defilement. And you know what? We don't turn to God with purpose and we say, I'm going to try to be fruitful and I'm going to try to do it with purpose. I'm going to decide to do something here. Daniel goes out and he draws this line and he looks at those three Hebrew boys. He goes, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I got to do this. Listen, it doesn't say that they all decided to. It says that Daniel did. And listen, Daniel's decision was infectious because from somewhere between verse 8 of Daniel 1, we're not there going there for time, but between Daniel verse 1:8, between 1:12, somewhere in though, those boys thought, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. And listen, you know what? His decision was infectious. His decision to stand and draw a line in the sand, you know what it did? It stirred up those boys enough to join him. And you know what I want to say? That Daniel wasn't afraid of the separation. You know, too many of us, you know, we don't want to be the oddball out. And I see kind of a lot in my generation that have grown up, and you know what? They don't want to do, they don't want to have these, do these certain things or have these certain standards. Why? Because it looks weird. And you know what? Daniel didn't really care. He goes, I'm not going to defy myself with the king's meat. He did it with purpose. You know, you won't draw a line in the sand because you're chicken. That's why you won't do it. You won't do it because, you know what, you don't want to deal with the separation. You don't want to deal with the, what's his deal? Right? And listen, you know what, I got to say this. Your unwillingness to choose hurts you more than it helps you. It hurts your family more than it helps your family. When you say, you know what? And it's just kind of like this wishy-washy, kind of like, well, I, you know what? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say, you know, you can't. It doesn't actually say in black and white, but then you read all the rest of the verse and that's what it's pointing to. Listen, don't think that Joseph had to not purpose within himself to live unto holiness. That's what he had to do. Listen, you don't think that Potiphar's wife had any allurement? You don't think that there was something in Joseph where he thought for a minute, you don't think that wasn't there? No, he had to sit there and he had to run. He had to decide, I'm not going to do that. It was with a purpose in mind. That's how Joseph lived his life. You know, I wonder if when she tried to seduce Joseph and she went to grab for him, if Joseph looked over his shoulder and you know what he was able to do? He was able to see him who is invisible. Is that how you live your life? Are you able to see him who is invisible? Are you able to do it with a purpose? Man, I wonder if Joseph's relationship with the Lord was so close that, man, when she went out to touch him and she grabbed him, I just wonder if maybe maybe Joseph in like a frantic voice from the Lord heard him say, "Run!" I'm using my imagination, I get that. But listen, Joseph didn't just accidentally run. No, it was with a purpose. And listen, if you're going to bear fruit in the land of your affliction, you are going to have to do it with a purpose. You know what Joshua did? At the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, you know what Joshua did? He gathered all the children of Israel together. And you know what? They're worshiping false idols and they're not worshiping the Lord. And you know what he finally says? He draws a line in the sand. And I don't, again, my imagination, but I imagine he pulls out that big sword that he fought all those battles with. And he goes and he calls everybody and he just draws a line in the sand and he says, choose. You need to choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods or the Amorites. If you're going to do that, then just go. But you need to decide now. You know what he's just trying to do? He's just trying to knock off all the undecided off the fence. Because too many people are on the fence and they're just undecided. Well, I don't really know if I, you know. And Josh was just like, I don't care who's on the fence. And I don't really care what you do, but you better decide. And he says, you need to choose. And some of you need to do today, you need to get off the fence. And you know what you need to do? You need to choose who you're going to serve. Yeah. You know, it's back and forth, this back and forth. Listen, I'm not saying you're not going to fall. We're not talking about falling, right? We're talking about you choosing. Okay, because listen, if you choose to serve the Lord and you fall, well, at least the decision is made. I mean, all I got to do now is I got to get up, and it's not easy to get up, but at least I have what I can do. Listen, I will say this again. It will not be done on accident. You will not just happen to, how did I get here? You know, I'm like in the presence of the Lord. We're having all this fellowship. And like, wow, this is so cool. Like, how did I get here? It's not going to be like that. Listen, we're all going to get there by God's grace. Don't misunderstand me. But Paul's going to get to heaven and he's going to say, I am unworthy. I am not worthy to be here. But at least I know why I'm here. Because this is what I chose. So listen, you know what you need to do? You need to... You now face Joshua's question. Choose you who you will serve. Who are you going to serve? How's it going to be? Now listen, I just want to say, I wouldn't do what Joshua did. You know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't draw the line in the sand and be like, okay, you got to do this or you got to do this. Like, it's literally a decision right now that you have to make in this life and you need to choose. I wouldn't do that. You know why? Because I would be afraid that it would startle somebody, you know? I'd be too afraid it would maybe even cause somebody to say, well, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm just going to leave, you know? That's me. Like, I would be too afraid of that. And Joshua comes in. You know, I wonder what Joshua would do if he walked in those back doors. I have a feeling it wouldn't just be like, just come in all quiet. Slams open those doors and walks down this aisle. I wonder if he'd come up to you and look you in the face and say, you need to choose. That long bony finger. It looks like he's about to die. You know, you see all those battle scars and you know what he does? He points his finger in your face and says, choose. You need to choose. Go to Acts chapter 11. It's done with purpose. It's done with a purpose. You don't just bear fruit just because. There's things that you're choosing to do and it bears fruit. Acts chapter 11, verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Listen, you need to choose with purpose of heart. What? To live unto holiness. You need to choose. And listen, you know what? Joseph chose. And it may not have been easy. But listen, he says, in the land of my affliction, God caused me to be fruitful. Listen, you need to... you need to choose with purpose. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to seem like I'm repeating myself, but it's not. Go to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and look what it says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You know what I want to say? I want to say that if you're going to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, it needs to be done on purpose. You know, it needs to be done with a purpose, right? It needs to be done with a goal in mind, with a mission. But listen, you need to do it on purpose, right? It needs to be intentional. It needs to be an intentional action that you do. It needs to be deliberate, okay? It needs to be done on purpose. You know what it says? Jesus Christ says, he says, abide in me. You need to choose today on purpose. I am going to abide in him. No matter what happens, No matter if I fall, if I'm going to fall, I just want to fall in him. Right? Because I would rather get up in him than get up out there. Says, abide in me. I want to say that it will have to be done in stillness. Listen, you will not be able to fix it. Whatever affliction you're going through, you may not be able to fix it. And you may have tried all that there is to try, but eventually, you know what you're going to have to do? You're just going to have to abide in him. You're just going to have to abide in him and what? Allow him to do some work. You need to do it with patience. Why? Because listen, when you get in a rush, how many people have, you know, the flash in the pan, the guy that comes to church and is all on fire and, oh yeah, you know, glory to God, King James Bible, and like next week he's gone. I mean, how many times have we seen that? Why does that happen? There's no patience. You need to have patience. But you need to abide in him and you not need to allow him to work. But listen, if you're going to abide in him, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to sit still. Right? You can't be going here and there and do all the, no, just slow down. Just abide in him. Go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Man, the children of Israel backed up against the Red Sea. They're entrapped by the wilderness, and Pharaoh is after them. And Moses says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye will see them again no more forever. Listen, I just want to say there was nothing else that Israel could do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they followed the Lord's instructions. They went out to the wilderness, and now they were stuck. And there really wasn't anything left for them to do. They couldn't run anymore. You know what, in the end? It really was all just left up to the Lord. So much so, Moses said, you need to stand still. Listen, when you stand still, you'll be able to see some things. It may not be the most pleasant situation to be in, but listen, if you will just have patience and stand still, you can see the salvation of the Lord. You can see what the Lord can do. Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You need to be still. You need to stop. You need to stop trying to do all the work. You know what you need to do? You just need to abide in me. And listen, I'm all for working. But listen, sometimes when you're too busy, listen, you know what God's trying to do? Says, be still and know that I am God. You need to know that I can do some things for you. We need to be able to trust him. And if we don't take any time out to just abide in him, how are we going to know what he can do for us? Abide in me. Listen, you will decide to do this on purpose. It has to be intentional. It's not just one of those things that just magically happens. You will have to decide. It will have to be intentional. And listen, it will not happen if you don't make the decision. If you don't decide that you're going to stand still, it's not going to happen. You know, after Samuel anointed Saul, You know what he said? He said, "Stand thou still that I may show thee the word of God." Listen, there's going to be in this time where you need to stand still and just, you're going to have to do it on purpose. You know what there's going to be? There's going to be things that the Lord wants to reveal to you. And if you're out and you're so busy, and listen, you can't read your Bible, you don't have any time for the Lord, and you're never in church, you're going to miss it. Because listen, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I'm not saying that if you miss church, you're of the devil and you're, you know, you lost your... It's not like that. But listen, if you're not reading your Bible and you're never in church, what do you expect? What else is going to happen? It needs to be done on purpose. You need to choose it. His revelations may go unknown or unnoticed if you don't stop. And what a shame it would be. No. What a shame it is going to be when we get to heaven and the Lord is going to say, "Do you remember when you were in that affliction? I was right there. I was trying to show you, but you were too busy. Well, I got to do this. I got to fix it. I can't. No. Let me do it. I could have showed you. It was right there. All you had to do was just stand. All you had to do was just open your Bible. That could have got you to slow down just a little bit." Lastly, if you will, let's go to Ruth chapter 3. This whole last point, it will be done on purpose. It's just a repetition. I'm just stand here and repeat myself. Go to Ruth chapter 3. And Ruth has gone to Boaz, and for lack of a better way to say it, they decide that they're going to get married, and they want to get married, I should say, but there's some things that Boaz has to take care of, and he has to go and do some stuff to get in order that it'll be okay if he marries Ruth. And look what her mother-in-law tells her. What great advice. Verse 18, "Then she said," Naomi said, "Then she said, 'Sit still, my daughter.'" You need to sit still. There was things that Naomi wanted to do, but she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to sit still. You know why? Because there's things now that the Lord has to do. It is not all left up to you. The work is not all on your part. You do have to work. And you have to do it with patience, and you have to do it with a purpose, and you have to do it on purpose. But listen, eventually you got to stop and let the Lord do something. And if you don't stand still, if you don't sit, He's not going to be able to do what He needs to do right. It's going to be a mess. You know what? Listen, there was a point in Joseph's life where, you know what? He couldn't do a single thing. There was absolutely nothing that Joseph could do to get out of this situation. But the Lord had to work some things. And Joseph was in that jail cell, and he couldn't see anything out there. And listen, you may not be able to see anything out there, but there's things that the Lord has to do, because now you've done the work that you're supposed to do, but there's stuff that He has to work out. There's little details that He has to work around. And you know what Joseph did? He did it on purpose. He chose what he was going to do. And you know what? In the middle of Joseph's life, you know what he had a testimony of saying? "God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Now, I wonder how fruitful you'll be. I wonder if maybe you need to make a decision that, I'm not very patient with the Lord. I don't really make decisions on what to do and what not to do. I haven't really stood up enough. I look at my life and I'm not really living unto holiness. And I wonder if you need to decide some things. I think we probably all need to. But I hope and pray that now we're at the judgment seat of Christ, you can get up and you can just turn around and say to everybody, He hath made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's pray. Lord, we